This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score from Fox 32 Chicago Sports. This is Chicago Sports Tonight.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Chicago Sports Tonight. Luke Kanellis with you. Cassie Carlson's alongside.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Chicago Sports Tonight. I'm Cassie Carlson, joined by Tina Nguyen. And in studio, we have the Score's Lawrence Holmes. Hello, everyone, and welcome into the offseason. I'm Cassie Carlson, joined by the Score's Mark Grody. He is up at Hallis Hall almost every week as we go through Bears OTAs and rookie minicamp. We're coming off last week. You can also hear him two times a week on 670 The Score with Rahimi and Harris. And excited to have you in studio because we were initially supposed to talk about the schedule release, the Super Bowl of the offseason, and then we learned that through an article and a book that's coming out that Caleb Williams and his dad Carl Williams basically went through every single avenue to see if there was a way out of him getting drafted to the Bears. Your reaction to reading that?
Yeah, I was literally reading this on my cell phone as I was walking in from the South Loop and like, oh my God.
Make sure to catch full extended interviews and conversations on Fox Local or on the Fox 32 YouTube page. And the offseason is also now available via podcast on Spotify, Odyssey, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Thanks for watching the offseason. We'll see you next week.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
We had a wonderful time with Sarah Spain. Please support her and go get her book, Runs in the Family. She has to go because she's got an anniversary dinner with her husband that she has to go to. So we are thankful that she would hang out with us. So I reached out to Cassie Carlson because the show has been like, man, we keep ending up on your show. And I'm like, Cassie hasn't been on our show. So we need to repay that favor and get Cassie here in the Score studios since your studios are literally across the street.
Literally walked out the side door and I was like, which direction do I go? I go, I just go across the street. This is an amazing commute and I'm so happy to be here. We have so much fun doing Chicago Sports Tonight. And I love radio. It's like we're so confined to time restrictions in TV. We finally get to talk. That's why I love the Sunday show. It's like, all right, we have more than 3 minutes. So this is great. We get to show some personality, which is always fun for us on TV. And happy to do it with you, Lawrence.
Watching you operate in that space where you're like, okay, guys, we got 30 seconds.
Right?
You know,
quick.
Get these thoughts off. And then we got to go. We got to get to this highlight or this highlight is great. I want to start with the bio stuff, if it's okay. Where are you from?
Grew up in Palatine, so northwest suburbs, born and raised there. My parents went to Palatine High School, decided to send their four kids to Palatine High School. The true saying of once a pirate, always a pirate stands in my household, which
Let's
is
go!
Like crazy. So yeah, I lived there my entire life until I went off to the University of Illinois and decided to get into broadcast journalism. I was a competitive volleyball player in high school and decided I want to go get that Big Ten experience. So I was like, how can I stay around sports and still be in that competitive nature? And I'm like, I'll try broadcast. And it really stuck. Like, great experience there. Got to do a lot with Big Ten Network. Worked with the Illini Productions doing behind the scenes. And then it's like, all right, go find a job. And I couldn't find a job out of college that I wanted to take. So did a little jobs here and there. My first real TV job was in Lubbock, Texas. So I was covering Texas Tech after Patrick Mahomes was there. That's like the first question everyone wants to know. But I did get Cliff Kingsbury and his final season before he was fired. Covered Texas Tech basketball during the Chris Beard era when they went to the Elite Eight my first year there, and then the Final Four national championship game my second year. So that was a crazy experience for a first job. I always tell people, like, I hit the jackpot on first jobs of covering sports in a small market, but like a big time sports market in itself. So after that, I got a job in Memphis covering the Memphis Grizzlies during Ja Morant's Rookie of the Year season, and then got to cover Memphis Tigers, which is basically a basketball town. So got to host the Penny Hardaway show. He had the number one recruiting class, like he always does every year, but there's always drama. So it's always fun. It was Imani Bates and Jalen Duren when I was there.
Oh.
Yeah. And they came in late. So that was like the really the start of the NIL era. So it's like, who are these 17-year-olds reclassing up coming in to Memphis? And there was so much drama with that year. Rasheed Wallace was on the coaching staff. Larry Brown was on the coaching staff. It was like this mega, mega roster and staff. And it was so much fun because basketball in Memphis is king. Like, that city revolves around that sport. And arguably, the Memphis Tigers are bigger than the Memphis Grizzlies because it's like they've been there for forever. So that was super fun to see that, see the Grizzlies kind of try and break into the play-in and the playoffs. And then I've been in Chicago since 2022, covering the Bears at Fox 32 Chicago. So it's been a ton of fun. I mean, this is a dream job for me as someone who grew up in Chicago and watching Chicago sports. So I'm very blessed.
That's super dope. Have you figured out, like, now after you've spent time covering all sorts of things, what sport you like covering more? Like, even if it's not the sport, but maybe you like the schedule? Because I covered football for forever.
Right.
And even though Spiegs would hate to hear this, I'm kind of a baseball guy. But because I covered the Bears, I'm known around these parts as a Bears guy. But I love covering an NFL schedule, even with the long drive to Halas Hall. Give me that over covering a baseball game day in and day out, 7 times out of 7.
So I'm one of those people where I, like, when I'm in whatever, like, I'm obsessed with it. So college basketball, I was obsessed with it. Like, I love that multiple times a week there was a game. And like, college basketball to me, I like prefer it over the NBA. I love, maybe not so much the innocence of it anymore, but like,
yeah, that's gone.
Yeah, that's gone. But I just like the rah-rah around it. Like, it's cool to be in those college atmospheres, especially as someone who went to Illinois, like State Farm Center, like, incredible atmosphere. Then you go to Texas Tech, where fans are literally on top of the court. Like, I just loved walking in there every night, and especially when your team's in the top 25 playing for something. Like, that to me is an unbelievable experience. Now I'm obsessed with football, and it was always a goal of mine to cover the NFL, but to know that there is one game a week, it is the most important thing that everyone is paying attention to, and the storylines on a roster in the NFL, like, I crave all of that. So despite there being drama every year with the Bears, like, the storylines that come along with it, whether it's drama or whether it's just like cool stories of the guys on the team, I'm obsessed with it being like the one main event every week.
Was there ever for you like a welcome, our version of welcome to the NFL moment, like, when you were doing your job and you're like, oh, this is, people really care about what it is that I'm putting out here?
That's a good question. You know, I had never been to an NFL game before my first Bears game, which is crazy. People are like, how? I'm like, I'm one of four kids. Like,
and you weren't getting the tickets.
And I have an older brother, so he's getting the tickets. So, like, in that first game, my first one was back in, it was Eberflus's first year, so that was, what, 2022, and it was that crazy rain game where they were penguin diving in the end zone, and I'm like, we did walk-off interviews at that time, so I'm like standing in the tunnel watching Justin Fields penguin dive into the end zone, and I'm thinking, oh my God, like, I have hit the lottery of covering my hometown team. They won the first game, so I'm like, oh, we're on a roll. And then it's like, you're humbled really quick. And what I remember about probably that entire season, I mean, covering a 10-game losing streak, we're the home of the Bears. We did walk-off interviews, win or lose. And I remember, like, towards the end of the season, you request a player, and ended up with Cole Kmet every single game. And I remember, like, mouthing to him, like, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm like, it's going to be the same thing. And they always gave me Cole Kmet. To his credit, he always handled it perfectly. But those are tough. And the emotions of a locker room when they're losing. Now I'm used to it. But, you know,
unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what it's like to walk into an NFL locker room when there's playoff hopes. So hopefully this year, you know, we learn a little bit more about that. But
oh, my God. Like, thinking about that from your perspective, and Dan Wiederer had said earlier today that in the, what, 13 years that he's covered the team, he has not experienced a playoff win as a reporter.
Crazy.
Emma was talking about, because I think Emma's 12 years in now as a reporter. He hasn't either, obviously. And it's like, yo, when you really put it that way, it paints quite the picture of what's gone on with the Bears over the last 15 years.
And can you imagine if, like, I think of my job as like seasons. If my season extended 4 more weeks and like the stakes get higher. The attention is more. People start caring even more if the Bears are in the playoffs. Like, we all know that this city revolves around the Bears. And so I'm like, I would love to, everyone would love to experience what that would be like. But yeah, haven't experienced that yet. I prepare myself for the drama every year, though. It's always like, buckle up. What's it going to be this year? What week is it going to be?
So Tanny, like, granted, I'm a bit of a dinosaur, right? But I'm one of the last guys left that remembers great times with the Bears. Because I covered the team through 2011.
Okay.
So I got to go cover a bunch of playoff games and a Super Bowl, which was amazing. And here's the story that I always tell. And you might have been on the board that night, Tanny. The story that I tell about the power of the Bears and what it's like when the Bears are winning. I remember before the NFC title game, I was on the air. And I had said, like, man, can you imagine like what it would be like if the Bears won and they were going to the Super Bowl?
And this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Lance Briggs literally called in because he was listening.
Oh.
And he was like, I've been thinking about that too. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
And like, that's what it's like. Like, the city, like, it hums at a different vibration when the Bears are good, or when people think the Bears are going to be good. Like, when Justin Fields was drafted, there was a little bit of that. And it didn't work out. Same thing with Caleb Williams, where this guy comes in and people are like, hope. Hope is just a little bit of it. For Bears fans, is kind of all they need to kind of get them through the week. And God forbid the Bears win. Mondays feel like heaven. This job, and I always try to tell the people at the Bears this, Cassie, where they're like, oh, you just want us to lose. Oh, no, my friend. It's way better.
It affects our life, too.
Yes. They don't get it. How does it affect you? You now went through a 10-game losing streak last year and then one before that.
Okay, so I live in the city. It's like the drive up every morning when you know, well, now you're sitting in traffic both ways. So you're sitting in traffic and you're like, all right, we're going to listen to Caleb Williams today. And then Ben Johnson. Well, last year, we're going to listen to Shane Waldron today. That might be a 5-minute press conference with how fast he talks. And so it's like mustering up, like, how do we move this forward? How do we find new stories? Granted, it all writes itself in the end, right?
Sure.
Something happens every single day, but it's like the sitting in the car for an hour and then an hour and a half on the way back, like digesting what you just went through every day. It's tough. And you're like, I wonder what it would be like. Again, I wonder what it would be like if we
it's were amazing.
Like, you just start like having all these thoughts of like, that would be fun. That must be nice. Like seeing friends in different markets, like, dang, that sounds so fun. That looks so fun. And the personalities that start to come out, like we saw players, they become a little bit recluse, right? Like they don't want to talk to us when they're losing. They're like, we don't have anything else to say. The coach got fired. We don't have anything else to say. So it'd be great to have their personalities shine a little bit more too. See the best in them on the field and in the locker room, because like we work in partnership with them. So like to me, I would love to experience that. And I'm hoping, the excitement's back. Like they hired Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson has played a huge role in the excitement being back, and I want to get to that in a minute. I'll just pour a little bit more salt in the wound of covering like a really good Bears team. I remember when Thomas Jones was here; he was like, it was like Moby Dick. Like that's the interview that you wanted. Mm-hmm. And Thomas was a man of very few words back in those days, which is amazing because now he's an incredible actor and doing all sorts of stuff. I always say this to people, look up Thomas Jones on Wikipedia. It now says Thomas Jones is an American actor, not Thomas Jones is an American football player, even though he ran for 12,000 yards in the league. Anyway, I had asked him like all throughout the season, man, can I get 5 minutes? Can I get 5 minutes with you? And right before the playoffs started, he was like, yo, let's do this. Sat down with him for the, at his locker, told me the story of his parents being coal miners.
Wow.
And how that's how he started to get himself in shape. Like his father would have him and his brother Julius, who played at Notre Dame, played for the Cowboys, how they had to get up every day and do their push-ups and sit-ups. And I'm just sitting there like, is anyone seeing like what's happening right now? But that's the difference. That point that you're making, like that's when guys feel a little bit more comfortable sharing because they know that they're doing all that they can and the results back up all the work that they've put in. It's so cool when it comes together that way. And it's fun to get to know the players in that way when they're not worried about, oh, I might say the wrong thing or I might blame the wrong person for the reason that our team is not doing as well as it could.
Right. And you and I, like, we're storytellers at the end of the day. And like, yes, you can talk X's and O's all you want, but like, I want to tell a story. That's why I got into this. I think back to like watching, I watched the Blackhawks during their dynasty era. We would watch every single game. And I think Sarah Kustak was the ringside reporter at that time. And I remember telling my dad, I was like, I feel like I know these players. And that's why like I wanted to get into it, is to make these mega superstars be normal people that we can tell their cool stories. And you try to get that out of them every season. But like, I'm like so curious of if this goes right and we're sitting there at week 15. Like, I wonder what that locker room is going to be like and how much fun it's going to be for everyone involved, because we're all in it together at the end of the day.
How fun would Caleb be, you know?
Yeah, we haven't really seen that yet. And I feel for that kid. Like, he handled himself impeccably well his rookie season, going through all those changes and standing up there, especially when there were questions heading into the draft of how he was going to handle all of that and press conferences after losses. Like, he stood up there every time and answered every question. You want to see the personality come out a little bit more of like, this is a 23-year-old kid. Like, let's see like how he is and how much fun he can have, because I feel like he was really handed like, hey, you're in the NFL. Football is now a job. It's a job. Big time job. And there is little room for error on the field and off the field.
I love that point. Cassie Carlson is here in studio with us. She's going to hang out for the whole hour if you're enjoying the conversation. I know I am. That point that you make, I think, is one that's not talked about enough in NFL circles. It's so weird. I was literally having a conversation with some of my students at DePaul today about this, of them going from, I'm a student, I've been in school for 17 years. I'm used to the routine of things end in June and then they start back up in September. And then you graduate and you're like, oh, it's real life. I do have to make all of these decisions now. I got to get a job. Like, all of this stuff starts to hit them. And when it comes to professional athletes, that jump from, you know what your schedule is every day. We get up, we lift, we go eat breakfast together as a team. We go watch film together. I go to class. I go to study hall. We watch film together. Now you're on your own. Now you've got to kind of build up the infrastructure around you to help you stay on a schedule and a routine when you're outside of the season. Getting used to it is so difficult.
Well, I think you hear a lot of the players say that. They're like, I don't know how to spend my free time. Like, what are they doing? Are they playing video games? Are they studying the playbook? Are they watching film? Like, that's a definite adjustment. And I think like the whole Caleb Williams thing, talking about how to watch film, definitely plays into that too. Cause he's probably like at home, we know he likes to play video games. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. This guy is
neither
a kid.
Do I.
Like, I don't think you want someone to be like ingrained in the game 24/7. That's how burnout happens. So I think that there's a struggle in all of that. And when you're the number one overall pick and you're the quarterback of the Chicago Bears, like, I don't know what that weight feels like. I don't want to know what that weight feels like. And I don't know that anyone, like, do you want to know what that weight feels like? I don't know how to even put that into words, really. Like, you have to go home and live with your thoughts. And I don't know if you're on Twitter. Like, that's something that to me is not appealing. Like, it takes a special person to want to sign up for that.
Yeah. And considering all of the quarterbacks who've had a chance at it, mm-hmm. and there's so much history weight that is on them too. If you look just beyond the weight of, I'm the quarterback of NFL team X, that has a lot of weight to it. Being the quarterback of the Chicago
Bears.
Like,
go be the Titans quarterback.
Right. Like, it's that's hard on its own. But being, if it's the Bears or if it's Cleveland, mm-hmm. where you have this history of everyone thinking that the next quarterback is going to work out, and then it doesn't. And so the expectations then mount on the next person. You're like, they mounted on Mitch. They mounted on Justin. Now it's mounting on Caleb. And working through that has, I hope that guys are getting the talk therapy that they need to work through it, because you're right. Like, the pressure is immense.
Yeah, that's something that I'm not going to sign up for myself. But that's why they're all high performers, right? That's why they make the millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. And for the person and the quarterback who does become that person in Chicago to erase the narrative of what quarterbacks have been in the past and that there's never been a franchise quarterback, like, good on you. There will be a statue of you. So, like, that's what you are basically aspiring for. Like, you'll be talked about for forever. And there will be a statue. Like, that's what, is that not like Super Bowls? But like, that's kind of what they're playing for.
100%. The concept of legacy.
Right.
Of wanting to be the best and then leaving that behind and being like, I was that dude. I was that guy.
And is that enough to leave them with, like, for all the stuff that you go through? That's an interesting conversation, I think, for someone, for maybe Caleb Williams, if he does it in 20 years.
It's a great conversation for you and him to have 10 years from now, when it's like, look at this. Look at what's happened
here. Is this what you thought it would feel like? Like, you get to live with this legacy, but like, is that... I mean, you went through some stuff early on. Is that worth it? Like, I mean, he's a kid.
That's the part that we tend to forget because of us admiring and watching sports, that we do tend to forget that we are talking about, in a lot of cases, men in their early 20s and mid 20s. And that's a very difficult time overall for any of us. And then you add in the money, the pressure, the expectations, the leadership stuff. There's a lot there to kind of dissect. And the ones that make it through it, I have an ultimate respect
for, sure.
for them. Because think of how hard it is to just be 23 years old.
What were you doing at 23?
This is right. Like, what were you doing and how were you doing it? And what did you think of yourself? And,
and if people were watching, what would they think of it?
Do any of those people think that you were a leader when you were 23 years old? Because probably not. Probably not the case at all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.